Well, we've made that the unofficial theme for our palette member from Adelaide, Carolyn Jasinski. She's just been in Kununurra on the Kimberley in Western Australia, where she found one of the largest bodies of fresh water in the country at Lake Argyle. It's great for boating and swimming, if you trust the freshwater crocs, which she apparently did. But so she got out alive, and she was there to tell me about this fascinating destination by land, water and air.
Well, it's great to have one of our reporters on the line. She's calling in from Kununurra, which is up in northwest of Western Australia. Carolyn Jasinski and Boof, the magic motorhome, you've made it to Kununurra. Well done.
Thank you. It's been nearly 6 weeks now.
Yeah.
And yes, we finally made it up through SA, up through Northern Territory. We did a little diversion there into Kakadu and then back down through Katherine and across west, heading off into the sunset.
Wow. What a great opportunity that you've got to, you know, to take this amount of time and see the bits of Australia you haven't seen before or you haven't seen much of.
Oh, look, it's fabulous. I'm calling it the midlife gap year.
Right, okay. Okay, at least you're not backpacking your way around Europe like other gap takers.
No. I like glamping better than camping. We've got Boof. That's our motorhome now. It's a little bit dated, a bit like us, but that's cool. It's only a 2006 motorhome, but it's just comfortable enough to be really comfortable on the road, but not too flash that you don't worry about going on dirt roads and stuff like that.
Right. So Kununurra, that's home to the Ord River Scheme. I have been up to the town. I found it quite fascinating. How have you found it?
Look, I agree, completely agree. It's a fascinating place. We were a little bit daunted to start with because we've heard so many bad stories about Kununurra. And especially when you're planning a trip like this, everything comes out of the woodwork and people on, caravan camping Facebook sites and et cetera, they all say, oh, be careful when you get to Kununurra. It's terrible. There's a real problem with kids vandalising and stuff like that. So we were a little bit wary about coming in, but we've just found it really lovely. I think we're in a little oasis. We're at a caravan park, the Discovery Park on Lake Kununurra. So it sits right on the lakefront. And, you know, you wake up to these beautiful views and you go to bed to beautiful views. And we haven't seen a spot of trouble of anything.
No, I didn't either. I wonder whether that's a big furphy, just so they don't share it too much with anyone else.
Well, it could be. The only sign we did see of anything was we did a two-hour flight, and it was over Lake Kununurra up to Lake Argyle and all the way to the Bungle Bungles and then back again. Now, because we're in the motorhome, we don't think we can get into the Bungle Bungles, so we thought we'll fly over the top of them. And on the way back, there's a lot of spot fires. And we thought it was part of the controlled burning program that's going on up here in NT and the top of WA. But it's not. Apparently, it's a lot of the local kids are just bored in school holidays, so they're lighting fires.
Oh.
So that's a little bit daunting.
Okay. Because there's some pretty valuable plantations up there, rosewood plantations and things, aren't there?
Well, on the flight was fabulous. It was 2 hours, and it was really revealing. There's so much agriculture going on up here, and it's all thanks to Lake Argyle because that put in place as a, he described it as a big bucket of water for the area. So it's used only for irrigation, and it drops about a centimetre, it drops a centimetre a day in terms of how much they use in irrigation. There's so much going on. There's mangoes, there's melons, and the biggest crop at the moment is the sandalwood.
Yeah.
And it's a 13 to 15 year crop, so it takes that long before it can actually produce anything. And then they use the oil out of the hardwood for fragrances.
Yeah,
the
that's right.
The most famous is probably Chanel No. 5, they were quoting.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember when I was up there, they were rattling on about this. There was some concern about whether the real returns would be there when these things reached maturity. But there's acres and acres of rosewood that a lot of locals have invested in. There's also, I'm not sure if they do bananas anymore. I think they got wiped out. But there's pumpkins and all sorts of stuff growing there.
Yeah, they have a few bananas now, but the main ones now are watermelons, rock melons, and honeydew melon.
Yeah.
And then lots of mango still.
Yeah.
It's not until you get up in the air that you realise there's an awful lot under plantation.
And that is, I think I'm right in saying that's the largest body of freshwater in the country, I believe.
Yes, biggest man-made lake in the country. It's 55 kilometres long, 34 wide, actually stretches to about 70 long when you take into account the river system.
Yeah.
But the lake itself, and we went on a cruise there last night, a sunset cruise, and that was just beautiful as well. And we loaded out for about 15 minutes, and when we stopped, we got a great talk about the lake and all it does and how it was made. And then he said, well, you've only seen about 1% of the lake.
That's incredible.
It's just incredible. It's considered an inland sea. So anyone who goes on the lake, you can do anything you would on the ocean, but you have to have all the emergency equipment set up as well, as if you're going out into the ocean. It's so remote and so large. And so we actually jumped into the water with the 30,000 freshwater crocs. We saw a few of those.
Right.
I thought they were a bit nuts, but anyway, while you're there.
I think they're just friendly. They just give you a little nip to see if you taste all right.
Yeah, they said no one's been taken by one. They can bite, but yeah. We didn't feel any. And
no.
We were bobbing around the water with on noodles and drinking champagne and having nibblies on esky tops in the water. It was just fabulous.
Yeah. I'll tell you something I noticed up there, and it really caught my eye. As soon as we got up in the air, I noticed the various rock formations and things down there, and they look just like an Aboriginal painting. And I'm trying to work out how, when these paintings were being devised by Aboriginal communities, whether they'd taken a flight or whether they just imagined what things looked like from the air. Did you find that?
Oh, definitely, especially over the Bungle Bungles. When we were up quite high, it looked like a dot painting.
Yeah.
And it is quite beautiful. And then he did a few laps around and then, you know, dipped the wings and went down closer. And you could see these what looked like little dots. They're just so high, so unbelievably tall. They're just massive cliffs that have formed, they've eroded into these beautiful round shapes with hard granite tops.
Yeah.
Really,
and the colours.
Stunning.
The colours are pretty spectacular, aren't they?
Oh, they're gorgeous. And then there's a Picaminny Gorge. He flew over that. That's just amazing. These are places that if you've got a four-wheel drive, you can get to and you can go hiking through.
Yeah.
I don't think – they said it takes 2 hours to go 50 kilometres in the first part of the trek to get out to the Bungle Bungle. So we won't be doing that in –
Is that sandy? Is it a sandy road or rutted road, or what's the reason?
They tell us that it's extremely corrugated, but
right.
Not like a normal corrugated road. It's quite stony, the roads. We did drive out, and we've been out to Emma Gorge, which is part of Equestria, and we went a little bit along that road, and it was very corrugated, but small corrugations. And then we got to a point where there was a big washout, so we had to turn back. But
right.
The road, it's not sandy there, and I'm not sure what it's like further into the Bungle Bungles, but a lot of the ground out here is very stony. It looks like there's a lot of ironstone in it, that really deep red colour.
Yes. And I suppose every baby boomer in the country's out there in their caravan or their motorhome or some other four-wheel drive. You finding lots of them up there?
Oh, look, we're meeting so many people, and it is very funny because it doesn't matter. We're mixing it up with caravan parks and free camping and national parks. So we're doing a bit of everything. And look, for somebody who watched Wolf Creek and wouldn't free camp, I'm doing really well now. We've got free camping down to Pat.
But
the people you meet are so lovely, and the really nice thing is about they're all pretty easygoing.
Yep.
And if you get anyone who's a bit up themselves, they soon get taken down a peg or two by all the other people around them.
Right.
And there's quite a bit of caravan envy goes on. You can see people oohing and ahhing over the latest vans and gadgets, and we're all swapping great tips. So I'll come up with a story soon on the top tips for life on the road.
Okay. I'll look forward to that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
So what's your next move? Where are you going from here?
Oh, from here, we're leaving Kununurra today. We're heading southwest again. So we have to skirt around the bottom of the Kimberleys. We go down towards Halls Creek, where they found gold all those years ago.
Yeah.
And then across to Broome and Derby.
Right.
We'll go through Derby, hopefully get up to the Horizontal Falls.
Right.
Again, what we're finding is that what we miss out on by not having a four-wheel drive, that we pick up by doing tours.
Right.
So we did have the option of buying a little four-wheel drive and towing it behind the van, but when you look at the costs, we've decided, no, we won't do that. We'll save on the petrol and just book a tour when we can.
Yeah, and a little four-wheel drive may not get through some of the tough stuff either.
Exactly. And plus this way, look, I'm all for local guides because I just think you learn so much more.
Yeah, I agree.
When you go out with a guide and they not only know the landscape and all about the history and geology and all that sort of stuff, but they've got these great anecdotes and they're just really, really interesting people. I love it.
Mm. Oh, well, it sounds like you're having a fabulous time and I'm very envious of you. It's a great part of the world. Now, of course, up around Lake Argyle, that's diamond country. And then you're going to Broome, that's pearl country. So may well come back bejewelled.
Well, I'm working on it.
What's he saying?
Look, you know what? If I said I really want a diamond, he'd give it to me. But I don't really think I need one.
Right.
We went all the way to New Zealand to get to do a story on cruising around there, and they had these blue pearls. And when I saw them, I was so underwhelmed. I had him lined up to buy me one of those, so I'm yet to find a diamond. I may find a pearl over in Broome, though.
You might. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely lots of pearls in Broome, but, yeah. Well, I hope you every wish comes true. I look forward to your next report, Carolyn.
Oh, thank you. It's so much fun being on the road, and yeah, I'll keep you up to date. If I find some interesting characters, I'll do a couple more interviews for you.
We look forward. Thanks for that.
Thanks a lot, Graham.
See you.
That
Bye.
Was our reporter, Carolyn Jasinski, in the Kimberley on her half lap of Australia, and she is going to check in regularly with more stories from the Outback. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.